the hospitality, one of the main industries here in Carrick Sabine, where we are this morning. And with me in our outside broadcast unit here on Main Street, I have Fianna Fáil councillor Norma Moriarty. Norma, good morning to you and thanks for joining me in the programme.
No problem. Good morning, Gerry, and to all your listeners. And you're very welcome to South Kerry and to Carrick Sabine in particular.
Indeed. Look, how is Carrick Sabine doing this year, this season, shall we call it that?
I would say, look, the general consensus about the season so far is that we're hoping that it'll burst into, you know, into blossom, as it were. To date, when we've had the periods of good weather, you can see quite a lot of people around. But when it's dull, and you know, we've had quite a lot of poor weather, if you like, other than the two nice spells, people would report that it's generally quieter, you know, than you'd like it to be. Now, having said that, schools, in terms of exams finishing and primary schools closing, we're only just in that peak now, so we're hoping to see more footfall and more traffic and more families around the place. Look, we have a fantastic product for them in every part of South West Kerry when they come down and stay here. There's loads to do, loads to see, the best of you know, food and drink and so on that you can enjoy and partake in, and just spectacular amenities and views. So they're always welcome. We want to make sure that they feel that welcome, and indeed that they take the time to come down and visit and spend time with us.
Okay, and we are really heading into it from this week, the primary school's off, the next 2 months absolutely vital.
There's no question. Like, I suppose a legitimate complaint for a long time has been how condensed our tour season can be. You're trying to, you know, make enough to live, you know, for an entire year off of a 2 month season, or sometimes even a 6 week season. So events and festivals and things like that that become economic drivers, they take on an even greater importance, and it also helps to try and lengthen that season. Where, you know, you often hear Fáilte Ireland and tourist representatives talk about the shoulder seasons. It's our main ambition is to basically make sure that we have an avenue for people to come and stay and things to do right throughout the year, if at all possible. Because if you had nice steady footfall for a longer period, it's far more sustainable, to be honest with you, and it's far more beneficial. So that's what we're working towards from, I would say, a local authority perspective, local stakeholders, Fáilte Ireland and so on, and indeed the entrepreneurs, the investors who are investing in tourist accommodation in cafes and restaurants and the types of outlets, if you like, that are driven, or if you like, aimed at tourists. Clearly, the greenway is enormously important. I mean, you know, the three sections that have been open to date have been open to rave reviews. It is having a positive impact. We saw that, you know, so starkly over the Christmas period, just before Christmas when we had the first section opened.
Yeah.
You know, the businesses along that route, and indeed the towns, both Glenbeigh and Carrick Sabine, saw, you know, such traffic, such volumes of traffic and positivity towards it. So we've zero doubts about the impact, the potential impact that will have as an economic driver, as I say, and as an amenity, and just even as something positive for everybody, for the people who are living here all their lives, you know, throughout the year, that it's good for their well-being and good for their health and so on. But there's no question or doubt it will add significantly to what we already have in terms of a tourist draw.
Okay. The other side of that then is an improvement to the town centre. Yep. As a destination, as a place to come to. Regeneration. Construction expected to begin in the coming weeks in the long-awaited waterfront amenity and boardwalk.
Yep.
Just even aside from that, in terms of the time it's taken, what do you believe will happen as a result of that? We're here on the N70 Ring Kerry Road, which runs right through Carrick Sabine. Very often people drive through, they might stop here, but they don't stop and explore. They don't explore the waterfront on Carrick Sabine. Is that going to make that a reality,
and again,
or a destination?
Like, we would always have been of the view here, you know, everybody in South Kerry, if Carrick Sabine could be reorientated onto the waterfront, my God, what a change, what a positive thing it's going to be for everybody. And that's precisely what these developments are going to do. So the boardwalk, again, there's a relatively short construction period in that. Like, we're literally weeks away from people seeing Harris fencing going up and work and activity down there. And that, I think there's about a 9 month construction phase from that. So we'll have hopefully both the Carnegie building complete and the boardwalk complete in relatively similar timeframes. You also have down there, you have the Iron Bridge, which is going to become effectively, it's the welcome into Carrick Sabine over the Greenway. So this is all going to be coming, you know, conjoining at this point. And so clearly you're talking about a trailhead from a Greenway perspective. But again, it's just you're bringing people in over the water and they can enjoy the water as an amenity. And it will encourage people in terms of activities. From a community development perspective, you know, there'll be space down there for community activities like, you know, we'll say food fairs, artists, exhibitions, you know, music, so on and so forth, community days, there'll be space for that. But there'll also, it will also be a very obvious move for private enterprise again to look at how do we open commercial units and how do we look at capitalising on what we have down there as well, given yeah. that you have a volume of people who are going to be coming in. Dwell time, the attractiveness of it to actually spend time there, to walk, to sit, to chat, to socialise and to spend time there. So how will you, again, maximise that? So as a town itself, and again, as you said, people have a tendency sometimes to pass through the town. Carsevine, I suppose, if you like, is transitioning from being your old market town into a tourist destination in and of its own right. And yeah. that's a key thing. And you have the types of businesses. All types of business are under pressure at the moment. The online competition is a huge part of that. But businesses where you are looking at bespoke artisan products, whether it's, you know, soap making, you know, particular porcelain art, you know, art, paint, you know, with the Artist Collective here, where you have just really high-end, nice products that are not replicated, are not necessarily available online, and that people have the opportunity to walk through the town and experience those things that have a unique, as I say, history to them and story to them. And there is a market for that. There is a desire for that. It's similar in some respects to what has successfully been done at Kenmare. I would love to see that happening here in Carsevine, that people realise that when tourists come, they like to spend time, they like to walk through the streets, they like to walk in and out of those shops and those lovely cafes, bakeries and restaurants. You know, we have... You certainly, it's a hard place to lose weight, can I just tell you that? Because the food is gorgeous in yeah. the town, in every one of the cafes and restaurants, and as I say, the bakeries. And there's an international flavour to that as well, which is yeah. very, very welcome.
Look, you say it's good that the works are starting. Has it taken too long? Has there been a level of frustration here at how long it's taken?
No question or doubt about that. And like part of alleviating that frustration was literally to see groundbreaking on the Carnegie building. Like as you can see, and they are making progress, in fairness to contractors who are on site there now. They really are making progress there. It does frustrate people because like there was an announcement about the circa 20 million for the regeneration fund, I would say 9 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
A decade.
I remember that long ago. And like there would have been a meeting of ACARD with the then chief executive in Killarney about the need for us to go after such funding. And that would have been the impetus to kick this off. But it takes so long to get things done. And that really does get frustrating and annoying. And there is a sense that can we streamline that process? Because are we losing value for money to inflation in the interim? And like there would have been a feeling that there were an awful lot of regeneration projects throughout the country that were held up at various gates and stages. And what you have, inflation is flying, you know, in the lane race outside. So as a government, I do think there needs to be more done about that. Look, we had a presentation recently again where they were saying, you know, that you have a single application around, we'll say, social housing and so on. But that single application has a whole load of subsections. So it's not really a single application. You know, there's an awful lot of complexities around this. And look, the other side of it is it's public money. You do have to get things right. But people want value for money and they want speed and they want reactiveness. So I think it's something that we have to work together to try and ensure happens.
Okay, on the public side of it, on the state side of it, we're told, we understand there's a decision imminent on a new ambulance base and primary care centre for the town. How important is that happens quickly?
The primary care centre is exceptionally important in Carsevine. And again, I have quoted this often. When I joined the HSC Forum first, it was in 2019, you know, after that local elections. And the first question I put down was, can we have a progress report for the primary care centre in Carsevine? The answer at the time was, it will be opened in quarter four 2021. We still don't. Here we are. Okay, so again, that's a case in point as to how things can be, you know, protracted and just take far too long. There are, from what I understand, we do have, I suppose, a benefit of now having an estates office specifically for HSE in Kerry now. Previously, you didn't. It was the southern region as such. So there is an estates office in Kerry now. That's beneficial. That's helpful. We have key people who understand the importance of it because we've been raising it through the HSE forum. It's consistently been driving through the HSE forum myself. There are sites being examined. There is a location that has planning permission. It's just so important that we get this right. And indeed, it's important that it sits well within how the town works. And again, that it is something that attracts people into town and that it becomes easy to use in the town and so on. It's very, very important that all of those things happen. it will be key as well to us being able to maintain GP provision into the future, because overheads and, you know, as we've often spoken about, some of the challenges that GPs have is that GPs are not just general practitioners as medical operators, they're small business people as well. So a primary care centre can offer you great relief around the overheads of that business.
Yeah.
So from our perspective, and
it again, has to happen.
We've been working really an awful long time on that. We understand its key importance in respect of that. And also the ability of people in South West Kerry to access basic services and not require them to have to travel long distances in order to do so. That the therapists or the experts can come and have nice meeting rooms, if you like, adequately equipped meeting rooms in Carrigsaveen to serve the wider South West community. The primary care centre offers that opportunity.
Okay, two comments in here. I think you know what they're going to say. All is talk of generation. Who's going to come to South Kerry? Look at the state of the roads and footpaths. Fix the road and footpaths first, like that for the last 5 years. Another caller says, has Jerry noticed the state of the road surfaces approaching to Carrigsaveen? Caller said, it's all very well to be talk of generation. It's very important to tackle the state of the roads in the area.
100% agree with them. And in respect of the road that you came in, we'll say, we refer to it out there near the B&T, that will be, the work on that will be done in September, October this year. There's another 650 metres on the far side of Carrigsaveen. Hmm. On the protein, which will also be done at that time. That still leaves a huge section, okay,
yeah,
that has to be done. And I've, again, been very honest with people at every step of the way. The funding that was announced last year, while very, very welcome, I knew was far short of where we needed to be to get the whole lot of it done.
Yeah.
It is going to be a very complicated road rebuilding project because there's a whole load of services underneath there as well. We have the additional constraints of the fact that the width of the street is what it is. We're not going to be able to make it wider than it is because the buildings are where they are. So we have to reduce the level of the street, if you like. That starts further back. We also have to acquire alternative parking for a section of the New Street residents. That is in train. The process for that is in train. And it will be close by Lacoon of Day so that we can at least achieve wider streetscape and then get it properly.
Are you hamstrung by the fact that this is actually the main N70 Ring of Kerry Road?
You are.
Rather than the main street of a town off the main thoroughfare.
Well, you are, to be honest with you. There's no question or doubt. But now it can all be done. But as I say, it's going to be a lot of roadworks over a long period of time. And I know people are going to be frustrated with that. But I will welcome all of that.
Yeah.
That I consider good trouble.
They'll take that if they know there's going to be a quality surface
That's
afterwards.
It. And there's no question or doubt. It is utterly, like, it is the level of danger there and the level of, if you like, of risk is unique. You won't find it in terms of roads and other places. It's not that people, you certainly can't speed there, but it's the undulation of the road, it's the closeness to the front doors of several houses, it's the fact that people are forced on occasions to have to go up onto a footpath, and they are literally forced to do that.
Yeah.
And the, like, it is, from, you know, for the longest time, I've said that this is our main priority in terms of getting things right. We took the opportunity last year in the midst of the Daniel O'Connell 250 celebrations to make sure that people in government at the highest level had a proper understanding of how difficult this is. And in fairness, they all acknowledged what we've been talking about for so long. So the funding is coming in phases. Do I think it's hampered by the fact that it's under TII? I would love if it was directly under council control, but it's TII. So we have to go to them to make the case and compete with others to do so.
Yeah.
We're genuinely of the belief that this is the most important road to get it right. And it's not just about, because I happen to be from this part of the world, but it is right throughout the country, the county of Kerry. I don't think you'd meet a risk as high as it, as unique as it. So it does have to be gotten right.
Okay. All right, Norma, listen, we're out of time. We're going to have to leave it there. We'll talk more about Carrigsaveen with some of the people who live and work here about the regeneration project. If you have your views, keep them coming into us on the programme. What do you want to see happen in terms of progress? What do you want to see in terms of development? We want to hear from you after we take these. Keep your comments and views coming into us on the programme on 0667 123 666. You can text and WhatsApp us on 083 300 3300. We want to hear from you on the programme. Lots to get to. We're here live in on the main street, the N70 Ring of Kerry Road, in the middle of Carrigsaveen. It's a lovely morning down here. Lots of activity going on as we're into the main heart of the tourism season now. A couple of your comments to get to. We'll talk in a moment more about Carrigsaveen and the wider area. Hi, Jerry. In last Saturday's Kerry vs Tyrone match programme, Jarlath Burns GAA president defended GAA Plus by saying, when your principal broadcast partner is a public service broadcaster, it's neither realistic nor fair to expect them to accommodate every fixture at a time that suits the GAA. This listener, John, says, surely broadcasting the seven matches of the quarterfinals, semi-finals and finals in the football championship is not too much of an ask of the same broadcaster. Broadcasting the 104 matches of the World Cup doesn't seem to be a problem for RTE, says John. Well, John, the World Cup is once every 4 years and they're contractually obliged to do it. The GAA is every year. But look, I take your point on that. There's a level of frustration. And maybe it all goes back to Michael Cahill's call for a dedicated Irish sports channel. But that would have to be funded by the government. So would you be happy with your taxpayers' euros going, or taxpayer euros going to fund that? Maybe you would. Give us your thought on what John had to say. Not too happy with Jarlath Burns. GAA Plus is now no longer a factor for the rest of the season, semi-finals or finals. So at least that one is done with. Another few comments coming into us on the programme. As a regular visitor to South Kerry 5 days a week, going through Carrisbeen in town from one end of the town to the other is, in my opinion, in very poor condition. Surely some of our council officials pass through as well, and also every day bus after bus passes without stopping because they have no place to park. Well, that's, I suppose, what we were talking to Norman Foley about the resurfacing, the wider regeneration project, and it's not the council, it's TII, because it is a national route that they have the final say on it, so that adds a layer of complexity as well. But there are works to be done in the next couple of months, and a wider project of the main area of it to be done as well. Parking to be issued, the boardwalk regenerated, the Carnegie building and other things. Well, with me in our studio here this morning, I have two people who are no doubt aware of all of that. Frank Curran, Chair of ACARD Carrisbeen Community Development Group, and Michael O'Connell, who's Chair of the Carrisbeen Music and Arts Festival, which runs in August. Good morning to both of you, and thanks for joining me in the programme this morning.
Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Terry.
Frank, if I can start with you on this one. Can you just, I suppose, talk about, you know, where Carrisbeen is at from your point of view, where it needs to be, where it's going as well, from your point of view?
I suppose for a long time we've always been struggling down here in South Kerry. But in the last couple of years, more especially since the South Kerry Greenway has started and is in the process of being completed, it has put a lot of confidence back into the area. We can see that ourselves by a lot of younger people have decided to come back to Carrisbeen because they see a future here with the South Kerry Greenway, which is a big thing. We find as well in the property market here that anything that comes on the market here in Carrisbeen though is sold a lot quicker than it was, we say, 3, 4 or 5 years ago. Prices have got better and a whole lot, like, so there is confidence there, but it will take time, and that is the biggest frustration point, I think, for everyone in the town and in the area is the time. And it's like everything when you're dealing with government departments and a whole lot.
Infrastructure delivery is slow.
Very slow. And the process you have to go through, you're looking at, by the time you actually spend some money or put a shovel on the ground, you could be 2, 3, 4 years, like, you know, just waiting for the process. And that's the frustration.
This government are promising that they've changed or are changing all of that. Do you believe them?
I haven't seen it yet,
yeah,
but I'd love to see it. And be honest with you, we had a meeting with the Carrisbeen Alliance, and we had the CEO of Kerry County Council and the Municipal District Manager and the whole lot. And it was only when they actually outlined the frustration they're feeling themselves to get the funding. So when Kerry County Council are being frustrated by the government, what chance have the rest of us got? Like, yeah, you know,
and that's the problem. Yep. It, I suppose. The other side of it then, you look at, I suppose, it's a factor. I was seeing a feature in the media over the weekend about the success of regeneration of Dundalk, and particularly over the shop living in a town like that. Now, that's a population of about 43,000, 44,000 people. Is that the grants have been increased for doing up derelict buildings and also converting over the shop? Is that something Carrisbeen could benefit from, Frank?
Of course it can. And Kerry County Council ran an information night here, actually, and it was very well attended. And we can see ourselves, because of the business we're in, that people now are looking at that as an opportunity. And if the amount of premises here in Carrisbeen that the upper floors are vacant.
Yeah.
I mean, if you got you could have in excess of maybe 200 or whatever. If you had those filled, can imagine the buzz you'd have around the town.
Yeah.
And it again, it's positive. It's going the right direction. But time is the problem.
How quickly you can turn around those properties, quickly the grant system works, building needs, all of those things.
And the grants are going to be the problem drawing them down.
Yeah, yeah, that's the other thing as well. Okay, Michael, thanks for joining us as well. Look, what's your review on where things? I know you're in full preparation mode now for the festival coming up relatively shortly. 7th of August kicks off.
Yeah, the Carthy Music and Arts Festival has been going since 1995, and it's a voluntary committee that comes together each year and prepares the layout for the weekend. And I would say for this weekend coming up on in the July, early August, we have Robert Mazel. Robert Mazel is our country star for the Friday night. We have a band called Glory Days, which is a Bruce Springsteen tribute band for the Saturday night. And we have The Rising on the Sunday night. So I think a lot of our viewers will know who those bands are and will enjoy the music. But the festival, while it's music, it also has an art side as well. So we've quite a long and varied programme. So if you have any interest, have a look and you will find something that you will enjoy.
Yeah. How important are these events to complement the tourism season, to draw people into the town, to make a big fuss, I suppose, of Carthy? I mean, you get the performers, they come, they enjoy the venues, and you get the crowds to follow.
Yeah, I think the festival is kind of seen as a gathering more than, say, a commercial thing. So people come for this weekend. It's very relaxed. You meet people you mightn't have seen for a while. The place fills up. People book their holidays around it. And the idea is that it's fun. It's a bit of crack. You go to different events. There's lots of kids' events on as well. So, yeah, people do come back. People enjoy it and people book their holidays around it.
There's a huge amount of work that goes into it. What's the volunteering atmosphere like here, the community level in Carthaveen?
It's good. Given that we're on the go for 29 years. So I think being a volunteer means you must enjoy it. You must enjoy doing this kind of thing and you must get a kick out of people being happy about it as well.
Yeah.
So this year our committee has come together. Now this year we have two on our committee, a call out there to John O'Donoghue and myself. So we've put together the programme, but we're working with others as well, like say Hugh Horrigan, Dennis Daly, a few more who kind of step in and take over parts of the event. So it kind of works out that way. So once we have the programme together, we then start looking for our volunteers in the month beforehand just to make sure everyone is available when they say they are. So that's the right time to do it.
Yeah, and that's what's needed to happen. Yeah. The other element, I suppose, is this is in the height of summer, this festival, a huge success. Does more need to be done, or do you need more help to try and attract people in the shoulder season, particularly now given the Greenway is opening up? Maybe it might draw more people to have events to get people to come to Carthaveen, either earlier or later in the season.
Yeah, I think it probably could be expanded and have a variety. If you have a volume coming, remember this festival is really much a homecoming type of festival.
Yeah.
Like we don't really go too far outside it. We've maybe 3,000 to 4,000 people, and that's our limit, and we're kind of happy with that limit because once you go beyond that, if you brought bigger bands in, your health and safety, your licensing all grows fairly dramatically. So we're happy with what we have now. But having said that, it is a tour, like people depend on tourism. A lot of business here depend on tourism. So you need to make as much as you can out of, say, July and August. So there is an argument that you could have different types of festivals on over the different weekends.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you get a volume of people coming in through the Greenway, that kind of creates possibilities. So, yeah, I would agree with you there. Yeah. That one.
Frank, that's something you mentioned, people coming in because they see the potential of the Greenway. There's also an element of what's happening, I suppose, nationally, internationally, is that people are moving out of cities or thinking twice and saying, look, what's my quality of life going to be? We have an overpopulation problem in Dublin and the East Coast, an underpopulation problem here. Are we doing enough, do you think? Are you hopeful that more people will make the decision, as you say, some have already made? Younger people say, you know what, I'm going to base myself here, I'm going to live here, I'm going to work remotely. Is that happening?
It is happening, you know, offhand, but if it could happen to a bigger extent, it would even be better. But it has, and I think COVID was the start of it when people came to the west of Ireland, the southwest of Ireland. They couldn't believe, first of all, the internet service they had. Some of them had said it was better in Dublin and Cork.
Yeah, and the National Broadband Plan has done a lot along those lines.
A pile for the area and a whole lot. And people, when they realised they could work remotely in the area, then said, look, well, now's our chance to think about relocating down here. And it has happened to a smaller extent, but we'd be hoping it would get bigger and bigger and better. And as I said, there is a light there. And I think myself, the whole of the South Kerry area in the next 5 years will come on leaps and bounds, because the estimate they have for the Greenway is between 300,000 and 500,000 visitors a year, like, which is huge, you know. Yeah. And our biggest problem will be, I hope, will be to accommodate for those people and keep them in the area.
A listener gets in touch, says, Cara Sabine, hi, a Cara Sabine business here. We need more tourist accommodation. The Skellig Star Eyepass Centre needs to reopen. Is tourist accommodation maybe just a few rooms for international protection? It's a prime location centre of fantastic town, says Marie. Well, that you could put that to a lot of towns in South Kerry, couldn't you, Frank? It's like chicken and egg. The people coming, then the hotels you need, and the wider accommodation to develop that.
Yes, I mean, it's the old situation. Like, you know, if you can get people in on the ground here, businesses will follow that when they see there's a chance to make their business work in the whole lot. And as I said, it was the old story, the hen and egg situation, like, you know. But it's going to be positive. Like, I'm a firm believer on it.
Yeah, okay. Ratmore caller gets to us this morning and says, there's no point in bringing down the price of a cup of coffee if you're putting 32 cent on a litre of petrol and diesel. That won't bring tourists here, whether it's Cara Sabine or else, is Ratmore caller. Well, hopefully it will be a phased increase, is what we're talking about over time. And hopefully, although this weekend wasn't really another good sign of more attacks from America against Iran, that oil situation will be sorted out anytime soon. Look, if you have a view on any of that, get in touch with us. Keep your comments coming into us on the programme. Frank and Michael, thanks so much. Michael, one final word.
I'd like to give a shout out to all the businesses here in Cara Sabine. Over 80 of them support the festival, and yeah, we couldn't do it without them. And I'd like also like to talk to Anne Landers, who is our sponsorship collector, so very important person in any committee. So
the most important person.
Yeah.
Brilliant stuff, Anne. Great stuff, Michael. Listen, great stuff for that festival getting underway at the end of July into August, of course. And check it out on cmaf.ie, Cara Sabine Music and Arts Festival. You can see all the details there. Get your bookings in. Well, brilliant performers, brilliant art, brilliant music over the weekend. If you have a view, get in touch with us on the show, 0667123666. My thanks to Michael and to Frank. We'll have more from Cara Sabine after we take these. Yeah, keep your comments, views and opinions coming into us on the programme, 0667123666. We're live here in Cara Sabine. We're talking about regeneration, the plans for Cara Sabine, the hospitality side of it, the industry side of it as well. Jerry, ask them what they're doing with the street in Cara Sabine. Are cars at a site? We already had that question answered by Councillor Norman Foley at the start of the hour. Listener, by the way, you can listen back to the podcast of this programme, which will be on the Radio Kerry website this afternoon, radiokerry.ie. Just click on the podcast section and click on Kerry Today. Another listener says, if it's successful, the regeneration also better promote Cara Sabine's rich heritage, not just Daniel O'Connell. Monsignor Hugh O'Flaherty spent his final years here, also the rich, proud tradition of the GAA in Cara Sabine. Well, I'm sure they'll factor all that into the planning. Norma Moriarty, indeed, not Norma Foley, we were talking to on the programme this morning. I think Cara Sabine has become very reliant on social welfare, providing accommodation for refugees and people seeking national protection. There is nowhere for tourists to stay. Well, that's another element of it, as we were talking to Frank Curran about the chicken and egg situation. The Greenway has brought people here, will continue, and will there be that tipping point when maybe new accommodation will open up or others? That's another side of it. If you have a view, there's, and speaking of asylum seekers and international protection, the Minister for Justice, Jim O'Callaghan, was talking about this weekend, and he said there has been a sharp drop in asylum seekers coming into the country with the introduction of the EU Migration Act. Well, if you have a view for us on that, get in touch with us on the programme this morning on 0667123666. You can text or WhatsApp us on 083 300 3300. Lots of different permutations coming out of that. One story I wanted to mention, to get a chance to mention this morning, you would have heard this on our news. There's an investigation going on into an alleged burglary at a home in Killarney. Gardaí received an alert shortly after 12:30 midnight. And that was on Saturday night, Saturday morning, I should say. Two men, one aged in his late teens, the other in his 40s, were arrested in connection with the investigation. They're being held at a Garda station while investigations are ongoing. So that's the Gardaí making a bit of a success there of that one. If you have a view, get in touch with us on the show this morning. We want to hear from you on the programme. We're talking now about Cara Sabine, and we have Hugh Horgan, who's a former employee himself at Wilson Sports Socks, which closed in 2003, involved in the festival, as you just heard Michael talking about there as well. He's joining me in our outside broadcast unit here on Main Street. Hugh, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jerry. Thank you for having me on.
No, tell me your own view, and coming from where you did in 2003 when there was an industry in the town, is there hope of getting one back here, or is hospitality the way to go? What's your view on the development of things in Cara Sabine?
Well, first of all, I would say, and a lot of people might like this, but to me, there's no development going on at the moment. Mm. There's absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
I feel that whatever is going on is just too slow.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, I heard Norma earlier on, perfect, no bother, and a great time for Norma, but everything is just happening way, way too slow for the people of Castlevine. I made a comment here the other day that they're starting on the community centre. By the time that's finished and by the time everything else is done, there will be no community here as far as I'm concerned. And this is coming from an awful lot of people on the ground.
Yeah, that's how they feel about the plans,
exactly.
About the money put aside,
people,
about how long it's taking.
Exactly. You talk to people having a pint over them and everything else. I won't mention the French word or whatever else, but they're just saying that this town is absolutely going nowhere at the moment.
Yeah.
Going nowhere.
Do you have any hope that things will speed up? There, as I mentioned, Frank, there have been promises made by the government on infrastructure delivery of all kinds, whether it's water, wastewater, whether it's ESP connections, whether it's roads or whether it's regeneration projects, that they are conscious it will speed up.
It will speed up, but there's no one here. Mm. There is no one here. All our young people have left. The amount of people that are over in Australia, even New Zealand, Canada now, is unreal. There's no young people left in Castlevine. And one of the main reasons why there's no young people here is because there's no accommodation here for them to move their families back and to build houses.
Yeah.
I mean, the trick here before was social housing. There was nothing wrong with social housing, guys. I came from social housing, right? Nothing at all wrong with it. Castlevine was thrived on social housing.
Yeah.
Where has it gone to?
But you need a mix. You need a mix as well.
And that's fair enough.
Private,
but
you need apartments.
You pass through Killarglen. Yeah. There's massive housing going on there. There's announced there for Kilmeade housing. Castlevine is just left with nothing.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing. And I'm adamant on this.
Yeah.
You know?
What about over-the-shop living? Do you see that as a solution?
To a small degree, but you don't expect families to move in over shops. Come on. Mm. You know? Mm. The thing is, look.
Why not?
Why not? Well, you're dealing with kids, you're going up and downstairs with buggies, Jerry and everything
else. You're talking to a man who was raised over the shop, over a pub, six children, and it was nothing wrong with it. Do we need a change in mindset to get back to those days?
Maybe you do. I would love to be and stand to be corrected.
Yes.
You know, but look, come back to me in 5 years' time and see where we are in the story with Castlevine, because I feel at the moment there is absolutely nothing happening.
Yeah.
We have an IPEC centre here, right?
Yeah.
The people that were staying there were absolutely beautiful people, right? There was families there that were contributing to the economy, everything. They moved every single one of them out. For what?
Yeah.
You tell me for what?
Yeah.
I mean, what are they going to do with it? Are they moving in more families? Does that make sense to you or me? No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
You know?
Would you like to see that place where you open, as Larissa said, and
tourism, of course, but I mean,
tourism accommodation to go in instead?
Without a doubt, yes. But if they wanted to remain as an IPEC centre, it's up to the government. Leave the families there. They're contributing to the economy.
Yeah.
Leave them there.
Yeah.
They're going to school there. They're filling the school classrooms. You know?
Yeah.
I'm caretaker of the local primary school.
Mm.
Last Thursday morning, the day at the start of the holidays, I witnessed myself, and this is truth, two young mothers from the same centre crying because this was their last day in Castlevine.
They were being moved.
They were being moved. Absolutely and crazy.
That doesn't help the situation. What do you take in terms of the issue to do with the primary schools in general and how it's affecting places like Castlevine? The intake numbers next year, for example, and this is across the board wherever you are, there's a collapsing birth rate, number one. Even in populated areas, there's a collapsing birth rate that's dropping. The numbers coming in are going to be lower over the next 10 years and communities are going to have to deal with that impact.
I agree, you know, but I think it has to start somewhere. And the starting point would be to bring the young families back into the communities.
Yeah.
And you have to give them somewhere to live.
So would you agree then, this week, possibly, I think it was meant to be last week, it might be this week now, the government are announcing radical changes in terms of rural planning. You're going to be able to build a one-off house, a second home in your own area. It won't have to be your primary. According to stories this morning, is that something you'd welcome?
I would.
To try and keep people here?
I would.
And get people to come here?
Because I know, personally, I know over near my own neighbourhood that there was a girl refused planning on her own land, on her parents' land.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Absolutely crazy. And it's only now that they're seeing the effect of that.
Okay.
You know?
That could be changed, could be switched,
yeah,
could make a...
There's a lot more things. Yeah. A lot more things. I mean, social housing to me, how many thousand people are homeless? And that includes outside of direct provision people, but even local people. Yeah. And don't get me wrong, I would deem everyone on the same level now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That if there are people coming in that deserve to be coming in and that are willing to contribute to the local economy, then leave them here, without a doubt.
And you feel that needs to be sorted out. And the key thing is much faster delivery of what's being promised.
Exactly, big time.
Okay. All right. Listen, Hugh, we're going to leave it there. Thanks very much for talking to us on the program this morning. That's Hugh Horgan there, who's talking about Carrigskeen, about the need for the speed up in delivery of the infrastructure that's promised, how long it's taking, whether it's regeneration, whether it's deliver housing, whether it's over the shop housing as well, grant systems and things like that. Give us your review. Do you agree with him? Give us your thoughts. We'll have more after we take these. Yeah, keep comments, views and opinions coming into us on the programme. We want to hear from you on the show. We're talking about hospitality. We're talking about Carrigskeen. We are live here in Carrigskeen, in Main Street in Carrigskeen, and we're talking about the regeneration of the town and plans for it. With me in our outside broadcast unit, I've Alan Landers, who's the owner of a bed and breakfast, San Antone, in Carrigskeen. Alan, good morning to you. You were working this morning. How has the season been so far? What are your hopes for the peak of the season over the next 2 months?
Well, yeah, busy enough. I'm not complaining. I'm as busy as I want to be. We're kind of a one-man operation, so it's hard to try and do everything or manage to do everything on your own.
Yeah.
Now, my wife won't be too impressed with me saying that as well, but yeah, that's, you know, it's a family-run business is what it is.
Yeah, and how are the family-run businesses doing in Carrigskeen, do you think? And I know there's been a lot of hope pinned on the Greenway. Is that starting to feed through yet, do you think, for people?
I think it is. I think the Greenway is positive. It has to be positive. Small B&Bs like my own, we're struggling. You know, we're not making money. I'd be far, far better off if I was working for somebody else, and that's being 100% honest.
Yeah.
You know, we've a lot of overheads. Everything has become more expensive. I'm not coming with the poor mouth now, but this is just a reality.
It's
a reality.
The running a business, the energy cost, the inflation.
Look, I'm working.
It's all challenging.
I'm going from 7 o'clock in the morning until 10 o'clock at night. There is no business will pay me the hours that I'm working. And I'm not being paid for it in the business that I'm in. That is the reality of all small B&Bs. You are there waiting all day long for somebody to turn up. So you're putting hours in but not being paid for them.
Yeah.
Or not being rewarded for them. Will the B&Bs continue? Hard to know. There's definitely a demand for them, and there's a huge demand for them in Carrigskeen because we don't have accommodation base. We've got the Ringakerry Hotel, which I think is about 24, maybe 30 rooms. The Kerry Coast, which is about 12 rooms. The biggest accommodation base was the Skellig Star, which has gone to IPASS.
This is
a massive problem that's here in the town as well. We were told that the government did tell us that it would not be turned back into an IPASS centre. I'm sorry enough for jumping into this one. But I think from the point of view of what's coming down the line with the Greenway, everything like that, and accommodation, we are going to be left behind. And the government has created this issue.
Does Carrigskeen need
a
hotel?
100%.
A big hotel.
Absolutely.
And that benefits all of you when the hotel attracts people in, hotel gets full.
Most definitely, yeah. The more people breed people, so the more people you have in an area or in a town like this, the more the pubs are more inclined to put on a bit of music, there's a bit more activity, there's more people going out because there's people out.
So let me put this point to you then. Government can't open a hotel. No, they can have an impact in terms of decision in relation to International Protection Centre, what contracts they hand out and what they don't. But if they were to pull tomorrow morning, there's no guarantee that the hotel would flip back into it. It'd have to pay its way, let's say. That'd be a situation.
Yes.
But it's about, from the government's point of view, it's about creating the conditions that entice and encourage. So, the conditions are being created.
Yeah, there's no question about that.
Are they?
Yes, they are. Yeah.
Yeah.
Accommodation is at a premium in Carrigskeen. Look, as I said, there's two hotels. I think there are three B&Bs that are operating. QC's Townhouse, ourselves, Cool Drake, Ivra Heights, and Southern Sun, and I know I'm probably missing one more.
Yeah.
But that's what we're looking at. That's the accommodation base in Carrigskeen. And you're looking at bringing a Greenway into Carrigskeen. That's going to bring, it will not bring thousands of people every single day of the week, but it's going to bring an awful lot of people in, of which we have no accommodation to cater for.
Yeah.
So that's your question. Yeah.
You've a boardwalk being redeveloped. When that's done, in 12 months' time, when the Carnegie building is upgraded, the boardwalk will be developed. Sections of the road will be done, maybe another, maybe time for the main part to be done. A new one-way system. Will it be a different Carrigskeen? Will it be a better Carson Bean, do you think, in that time?
Well, I hope so. I hope so. Look, I'd be optimistic.
And the Greenway further down the line as well.
Yeah, look, I'd be very optimistic. Look, I'm born and bred in Carson Bean. I love it. I wouldn't be anywhere else. But I want to see it do well. Yeah. And it's there are things that the government have done over the years that have hindered that and stopped that from happening. And certainly the creation of the iPass Centre was the biggest one that, that caused it. Now, in saying that, we've had some fantastic people that have stayed there.
Which is a point that Hugh made as well. He made the wider point about housing and the need for general accommodation to bring young people back. That's another thing. Yeah. Is that what needs to happen for rural towns all over Kerry?
They've said they're going to relax the planning laws now as well too. So yes,
for rural one-off housing.
Yeah. If that, but why didn't they do it years ago? There are families there that left because they could not get accommodation here. There was they had family plots or family pieces of ground and they were not given planning permission to do anything with.
Yeah.
That was wrong.
Okay. Alan, listen, thanks a million for taking some time. Fingers crossed the season goes well for you and for others. Thanks for giving us your time and talk to us in the programme. That's Alan Landers there, B&B owner here, heavily involved in development here in Carrigrohane as well. If you have a view for us on any of that, keep them coming in. We'll read them tomorrow on the programme. Lots of your comments to get to. Listener says, Cardiff IV, new care centre opening shortly in Carrigrohane, plus 7 new houses being built for the elderly. That's Noreen O'Donoghue said for Carrigrohane Social Services coming in. Carrigrohane has the most tourists passing by car and bus to the enormous amount of places of outstanding beauty in any town in Ireland. A scenic inner relief road with a hotel, cafes and housing between the town and the water would transform the town, says Cal in Killarney. Jerry, when Carrigrohane had a guard work with a hard working TD minister, didn't appreciate him, says a South Kerry listener. Look, my thanks to Owen O'Shea and Patrick Sullivan of Kerry County Council for helping with this morning's broadcast from Carrigrohane, and all done with funding from the news reporting scheme.